Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Chris McClanathan is on a phone line. Hi, Chris. Welcome to WGN. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm doing well, thank you.
Thank you, sir, for your service. You served in Afghanistan, correct?
Yes, sir.
How long were you there? When were you there?
I was there in 2011, pretty much arrived at the beginning of the year, and I left in December just before Christmas.
You are pictured in the front page of the paper today, and there is the story, and it left some questions, I think, unanswered. While you were there, you worked with a translator, right?
Correct.
So this was a local who spoke English and obviously spoke, what was the native tongue then? What language was he translating to?
I believe it's called Pashto,
yeah,
or
right.
Dari. I've heard both.
And so he worked with U.S. forces. What would he do for you while you were there?
He would do a lot of things. I mean, his main job was to facilitate our communication with the locals. He helped us out at the gate and on convoys. It's not just a language barrier, it's also a cultural barrier. So he was also helping us to kind of navigate that, because when you go to a foreign land, you want to respect their cultures as much as possible. So he kind of helped make sure that we weren't offending someone by accident, or if we did, that we could smooth that over.
Yeah, sure. And what was he like? What was his personality?
He's just like, he was a kid like us back then. He was 20 years old at the time, college students, and we were young guys in our first enlistment, at least most of us in my company. So we were, we had a lot in common.
Did he have a family? Well, I guess maybe not then, huh?
Not then, but he has a wife now. And his elderly mother.
So this is 10 years ago. Have you stayed somewhat in touch with him over the last decade?
Yeah, on occasion it was kind of like, we kind of went our separate ways for a while. He worked with different coalition forces, and we kind of left with the understanding that, yeah, we're going to help you get to the U.S. eventually. And, we'd see each other on Facebook once in a while. And then once this all started kind of kicking off, I realized that, hey, he's still there. I felt an obligation to kind of reach out and see if there's anything that I could do.
And he binged your phone right back, huh? I mean, you reached out to him and he was right there with a response.
Oh, yeah. Within a couple hours, he's like, hey, man, I'm here. I'm in trouble. Can you help?
And what does that mean?
He was working for us up in the northern part of Afghanistan. And in his hometown, and as the country started to be taken over by the Taliban, he relocated to Kabul to await his visa application, because he figured that was the safest place. And then, as we all know, Kabul fell not long after that. So he's been in hiding ever since.
The reporting is that the locals know who the locals were that were working with the U.S. forces. So the fact that the Taliban comes through, he can't just blend in, even though he is a local, because everybody, if asked, or at least enough people, would identify him. So he's been on the run now. The Taliban has said that they will treat everybody fairly, including women and the translators, but nobody believes that. I guess he doesn't either. It sounds like he's on the run going from place to place, huh?
Correct. I heard from him just the other day that he was moving to a different place because Taliban guys were coming around asking about people, and it was not good.
It's a terrible thing to think that he, for 10 years, has been helping U.S. forces, and there's been, I don't know if it's written or just an understanding that should it go badly, we'll get you out of there safely, and then we don't honor that. I mean, I'm sorry, but we should help that guy get out, don't you think?
I fully agree. I feel like we made a promise to our allies that we will take care of you if you help us, and they fulfilled their end of the bargain. They kept us safe more times than I can count, and the least we can do is to provide for their security.
He's not asking for $1 million. He's asking for a chance to come to the USA. Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy talked about this. In fact, after the airport fell, the congressman was on with us the next day. I've never heard him angrier or sadder. And the first thing he said was, we got to get the Americans out, and we owe it to those translators. We reached out to Congressman Krishnamoorthy, and he's listening in on this conversation. Raja, what do you want to say? Welcome back.
Hey, thank you, John. First of all, I want to say thank you to Chris for his service in Afghanistan. I also want to extend our gratitude collectively to all the men and women who are still in Afghanistan in uniform. They're operating under very difficult conditions right now. With regard to this translator, it sounds like he would, you know, essentially qualify for what's called the Special Immigrant Visa Program, the SIV program, because he was employed for at least 1 year with our coalition forces. Isn't that right, Chris? He was in our employment, right?
That's correct. He has applied for the SIV. He submitted all his documents as of a few months ago. It was marked as completed, but he's still waiting, hasn't heard anything.
What happens when he shows up at the airport?
Well, there's been a couple of times now where we thought we might have a contact that would be able to get him in. And one time he couldn't even reach the gate because the crowds were so large. And then the second time he was turned away at the gate.
By U.S. forces.
Correct. They said they were only accepting, green card holders and U.S. citizens at that time.
Raja, this is the 25th, and the president's holding fast to the last of the month. What's going to happen to these guys in September?
I'm very, very distressed to hear about what happened to him when he went to the gate. I'm very concerned about what's going to happen in September. I think they're going to get targeted, John. I'll just be very candid, and I think probably most of your listeners understand that. What I'd like to do is, if Chris can kindly connect us with his translator friend. Let's see if we can kind of put forward his application with our contacts at the State Department and potentially the White House and say, hey, you know, let's get this guy out. We're only there for 6 days longer, according to the president's press conference yesterday, and it's time to get him out. You know, our number is 847-413-1959, and we'd be privileged to try to help them.
All right, let's do this. Congressman, I'm going to put you on hold. We're out of time today. We'll follow up on this case later this week or next week. Raja, thank you. And Chris, let's connect you with the congressman. It shouldn't require an act of a congressman, and we don't have 4,000 congresspeople to address the many thousands that are over there. But if we can help you and your friend, Chris, we'll certainly do that, okay?
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me on.
Stay there. We'll put the two of them together and keep you posted on the congressman's efforts and the efforts of Chris as well.